Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. There is no power greater than your word. Father, I pray that you will strengthen me to forgive those who have trespassed against me. I pray that you will forgive me of all unrighteousness, dear Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity to host this show and to bring your word to your people. Let the Holy Spirit lead throughout this show tonight. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. Amen. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at Out of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com, our online bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com, our online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org, our online Bible College at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated School of Ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., and Tony Owens Ministry, Incorporated, at www.riversofrevival.com.
Yeah.
I must make a correction there. Previously, I said Mark chapter 16, verses 17 through 18. But I would like to extend that to Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. I'm sorry. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 says, And when they therefore come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Our struggle with obedience. The Spirit of God is moving to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for a certain type of person, or people, if you will, one whose heart is perfect toward God. Whenever the Holy Spirit finds a soldier in the army, God delights to show himself strong in his behalf, granting an open manifestation of his power and approval in that person's life and ministry. He is waiting to move openly in power and blessing. This kind of involvement in spiritual battles takes all a person has to give. The Bible tells us that Abraham and Job, were that kind of soldier. Scripture says that they had just such a heart. They accepted the challenges facing them and reached the climax of spiritual growth. Although you are not Abraham or Job, you can still have an attitude toward God and the right attitude toward evil. We will discover that there is no neutrality in perfection toward God. A soldier in his army does not compromise with anything that is unpleasing to him. You must be absolutely committed to obedience, no matter what it costs. And be reminded, as every soldier knows, it does not cost something to be approved of God. We are all coming to the point of the consummation of the purpose of God for the ages, and the message of God for every person who is going to take his place in what God is doing is this: walk before me and be perfect.
And the Lord said, He who is without sin, cast the first stone.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Function in the call of God on their lives. As believers, we are commissioned by the Lord to take the knowledge of Jesus Christ throughout the world. I pray that these teachings will be a blessing to you and will help you to fulfill the Great Commission. You have been called to be a steward, a servant of God. God has called you to be His ambassador to the world. He has given you the ministry of delivering the message of God to the whole world, the message of reconciliation. No greater call could ever be issued. No higher position could ever be held. I encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis. This teaching, Supernatural Faith, will help you to develop and increase your faith, which will enable you to walk in the Spirit. You will understand the basis by which faith operates and is built on, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Many Christians try to apply their faith and see no results, not realizing that faith must be built on a solid foundation. Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter 11, verses 23 and 24, that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things so ever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. I encourage you to speak God's word daily over your lives, no matter what you are going through. There is hope, there is help, and there is life-altering power in speaking God's word. Be faithful to speak His word. Release your faith as you speak. Declare His words boldly. Speak with power and authority, and lay your claim to the promises that are rightfully yours. And get ready, brothers and sisters. Get ready to experience God's power in your lives. For more information and to receive copies of these teachings, which can be used in Bible study forums, write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. God bless you as we continue on this spiritual journey. as we continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, our number one goal is Jesus Christ. Our mission is souls, and our vision is the last day's Book of Acts. I encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our lesson, Supernatural Faith. Tonight's lesson will be, There is No Greater Power Than the Word of God. Beloved, there is power in the Word. This is very important. If we want to walk by faith, the Word of God must be superior to everything else and anything else. The Word of God is superior to any knowledge, whether that knowledge is ours or someone else's knowledge. We must also remember that when we trust God with our hearts, there comes a quietness and a peace into our spirit. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3 says, For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. When God says in his word, But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Then we must simply know in our spirit that everything we need will be supplied, and we don't have to worry about anything. Sometimes we are anxious. We must have no anxiety. If we worry, if we have anxiety, then we do not believe. Our hearts take courage as we read the Word, as we meditate in His Word. Our assurance and confidence becomes deeper.
I will lift my eyes to the heavens, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from you, Lord, who made the heaven and the earth. Lord, down here the roads and times of rocky.
Thank you.
My words shall not pass away. Luke chapter 21, verse 33. No matter how sacred to man, important or valuable, there is no document that will outlast the eternal word of God. It is purity. Makes it intrinsically incorruptible. It is impoverished, immune to moths, maggots, and all that would decay, erode, or destroy its only nature. It will stand forever and by its power produce and manifest the will of God. Webster's New World Dictionary and Thesaurus defines the word power as authority, dominion, strength, vigor, force, great influence, superiority, mastery, and control, just to name a few. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, a clause in the Amplified Bible states, "For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective." The authority of the word. Matthew chapter 5, verses 5 through 10 and verse 13 states, "And then Jesus was entered into Capernaum. There came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Speak the word only. A centurion was the commanding officer of a Roman military unit called a century, which originally contained 100 men. This centurion was a man experienced in authority who understood how it worked. He himself obeyed his superiors in the Roman army and expected and received the same obedience from the men he commanded. They were, all of them, servants of the Roman military. Understanding this, he recognized Jesus as a man under similar authority from heaven. The centurion recognized that Jesus Christ had command of creation and the spiritual realm, just as he had command of his soldiers and servants. For Jesus Christ's words are the servants and soldiers that do his will, servants that provided for every lawful need of man, and soldiers who set captives free from the tyranny of Satan. Authority and power. The words authority and power are used interchangeably throughout society, and while they may seem related, each has a distinct meaning. Authority is the right to rule. Power is the might to rule. Once again, authority is the right to rule. Power is the right to rule. For example, at the local city level, the mayor is the legal authority in this area because he was voted into office according to the laws that govern this land. If ever while in office his authority is threatened or challenged, he has the right to call upon the local police or even militia to enforce his rule as he executes the duties of his office. At an even higher level, we have the president, who is the legal authority over this country. He has the right to rule because he was legally voted into office by a majority of the citizens of this country, and the laws governing such things supporting his appointment to this post. This authority has vested in it the command of the United States military, whose might can be activated in part or whole in order to enforce his authority at home and abroad. Likewise, at the highest level, Jesus Christ is the Lord, master, ruler, overseer of the household of God, also called the household of faith, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, and Luke chapter 4, verses 17 through 18. And as Jehovah Sabaoth, Lord of hosts, he is the commander of heaven's army also. Psalms 103, verse 7 says, Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Jesus has completed his earthly ministry and now sits at the Father's right hand. However, through the Holy Spirit and God's word, his ministry of authority and power continues in us. Power and authority over the devil and his kingdom. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 19, when Jesus asked his disciples who they thought he really was, Peter answered under the inspiration and revelation of the Holy Spirit. He correctly answered Jesus was the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Jesus acknowledged that God had blessed him with that revelation. He then went on to say in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 through 19, upon this rock, the true revelation of who I am, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, all the power and might of Satan's kingdom, shall not prevail or triumph against it. And I will give unto thee the keys, which is the authority of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Luke chapter 10, verses 18 through 19 says, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The word of God is greater than Satan. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. Life, there is no challenge that this earthly life presents that the word of God doesn't address. Luke chapter 4, verse 4 says, and Jesus answered him, the devil, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, having his natural needs satisfied, but by every word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, his divine power had given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. Death. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. John chapter 11, verses 41 through 44. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people that stand by, I said it, and they may believe, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. Jesus said unto them, loose him from his grave bandages and let him go. The world. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, which faith cometh at the hearing of God's word. Who is he that overcameth the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God, the living word? John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. John chapter 16, verse 33. The flesh. The living word, Jesus Christ, who sees everything and nothing, no one is hidden from him. uses the written word as a surgeon's scalpel, slicing through the human nature while keeping the patient conscious and accountable. He also uses the written word to sift the thoughts and desires of the human soul and spirit, grain by grain, disclosing the true motivation of the heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 through 13 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of souls and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest or revealed in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name. And when they saw the miracles which he did, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. Satan and the Word. Satan's first attack was upon God's Word. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, he cast doubt upon the integrity of God's Word to Adam and Eve regarding the tree of knowledge of good and evil. His intentions were to beguile Eve into disobedience. He made her think that God's commandment not to eat of the fruit of the tree was unfair, and that he, God, wanted to withhold wisdom from them. He trapped her by misinformation. Satan so hates the word of God that he is the influence behind those who want to remove the name and word of God from the public's eye. Lawsuits for the separation of church and state are increasingly demanding attention in all courts. Any vestige of the living God of the Bible and his word is being challenged and removed if possible. Speaking out against such things, homosexuality, abortion, same-sex marriage, fornication, citing God's word as a guide for life, is labeled intolerance, a hate crime, and even illegal. As a sign of our times, we hear it on the news all the time. The word of God tells us to put no confidence in the flesh. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. While in Matthew chapter 19, verse 17, we read, "And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." This Antichrist campaign just demonstrates a rebellious society's displeasure at the truth that each life is from God and accountable to God. The father of lies. John chapter 8, verse 44 says, "When he, the devil, speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of it." Satan's hatred of God's word is because it is the truth that lights and exposes the darkness of his lies in society and in our personal lives. the truth of God's word also slices through the fog of deception that Satan uses to hinder men and women from understanding the gospel message. Just as clouds block the light of the sun, that fog is a spiritual cloud that is intended to darken the mind to the light of the Son of Truth. God's word brings clarity to thoughts and disperses the confusion of the devil's mixed messages and outright lies. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The thief who steals the word. When the enemy comes to steal the word, he uses fear, doubt, and unbelief as his tools. He uses them to whittle down our faith by putting snares, complications, issues, and circumstances in our way. Too much of this, and we begin to question the relevance of God's word to a particular situation. If Satan is successful in separating us from a confident response, an application of God's word, then he has kept us from victory. Mark chapter 4, verse 15 says, "And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, depth, nor any other creatures shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Satan is not stronger than the word. I just want to make that clear. Satan is not stronger than the word of God, the manifested word. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Manifested means to reveal or show openly, plainly. The Son of God was sent to the earth and revealed as Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, to live an open and holy life before society. This was for the purpose of destroying, undoing, loosening, and dissolving Satan's works. The devil's works are all the bondages mankind had owing to sin and man-made religion. Jesus Christ cleared up the confusion of how to please God by his message and lifestyle, which made a clear distinction between righteousness and sin. He gave mankind an unmistakable example of a life that pleases God, and his words taught mankind the consequences of a sinful life and the blessedness of peace with God that one in righteous state experiences. lifting the standard. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19 says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 21 says, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from hence and forever. Beloved, the Christian must stand upon the word of God in today's society. Today we must live and speak these profound and precious truths. The word of God spoken and lived by faithful, stable Christians gives society the biblical standard for life. It tells the world that there is a clear distinction between right and wrong. This makes us suitable vessels for God to bring about a supernatural life of power in the life of the Christian. Beloved, once again, I must remind you that there is no greater power than the Word of God. And in your daily walk, I would like you to remember that. There is no power greater than the Word of God.
Oh,
As we continue on this spiritual journey, our lesson for tonight was there is no greater power than the Word of God. I pray that it was a blessing to you. If you would like more information on tonight's lesson, or you would like to request copies of previous lessons, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Helmand, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. I would like to extend an invitation to you to join me on the Roman road to salvation. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you had previously accepted Him and turned away from Him, He is waiting to be restored as the Lord and Master of your life. Beloved, God created us in His own image to have an abundant life. God gave us a will and freedom of choice. We chose to disobey God and go our own sinful way, resulting in separation from God. I encourage you to turn away from the sins of the world and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or recommit your lives to Him. Jesus Christ is standing at the door of your heart, knocking, listening, and waiting for you to make that decision. For those who are turned away from Him, tonight I am appealing to you to renew your commitment to Jesus Christ. Will you receive Jesus Christ right now? Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. 1 John chapter 1 verses 8 through 10 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 16 verse 24 says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. If you would like to receive Jesus Christ into your life, please say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you admitting that I am a sinner. Right now, Lord, I choose to turn away from sin, and I ask you to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross to take away my sin. I also believe that He rose again from the dead. so that I might be forgiven of my sins and made righteous through faith in him. I call upon the name of Jesus Christ to be the Savior and Lord of my life. Lord Jesus, I choose to follow you and ask that you fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. I declare that right now I am a child of God. I am free from sin and full of the righteousness of God. I am saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, if you pray this prayer and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please contact us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Helmand, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for your word. I pray that we as a people will understand that there is no power greater than the word of God. Father, I pray that we will walk by faith and not by sight, and understand that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I pray that as we submit ourselves before you and resist the devil, he will flee from us. Lord, we believe in your word and stand on your promises. Your word is our weapons, and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the full fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with you all. Amen. God bless you for tuning in to the show tonight. I pray that it was a blessing to you. Please join us once again every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, thanking you, and God bless you.